Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. In the book of Proverbs, one of the many subjects discussed by Solomon is a good name. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, Solomon says, "A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold." Now, we understand from this not that one name is necessarily better than another, like Sally or Tom or Bob, but rather that one's reputation is a precious thing that must be jealously guarded. What one does with his life reflects forever on the name that is associated with him, whether good or bad. At the same time, the scriptures make it clear that there are good names and there are better names. Consider for a moment all the good people who lived in the Old Testament era. Yet only a handful are among the noteworthy names listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Many were good, but only a few were better. These are the ones we call our heroes of faith. They have a better name than their counterparts, but there is yet a more excellent name. Today we will consider what the scriptures say about the one who has a more excellent name and what it means for us today. We'll begin our study by listening to God's word as it reveals the one who has the more excellent name. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, the scripture says, "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they." Now the one who has a more excellent name is Jesus, the Son of God. It is important to recognize that this more excellent name is a designation that has been given to him by God himself. Notice in verse 4 that this name was inherited. It was not appropriated. Jesus did not take the name for himself. It was bestowed upon him by his Father. There are several reasons indicated in these verses as to why Jesus has a more excellent name. The first of these reasons is that Jesus is now the one through whom God has spoken. Verse 1. In the very simple introductory verse of Hebrews, the writer explains the difference between those who spoke for God previously and the Son who speaks now. The prophets spoke in various ways, but they only spoke in portions. This means that they only had part of the story when they spoke. On the other hand, Jesus brought the full message of God to light. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul revealed that the purpose of God was to sum up all things in Christ. This means that the whole story of God's will is now available through him. A second reason why Jesus has a more excellent name is revealed in verse 2. Here the writer of Hebrews says that the world was made through him. Now this is another distinction between Jesus and the prophets. The prophets, you see, were not involved in creation, but Jesus was intimately involved. In John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, the scripture says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." Now we know that Jesus, the Word, was with God in the beginning. And according to John, nothing came into being apart from him. That is, he was involved in every aspect of creation. Paul the Apostle echoes this truth in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 7. In this place he says, "For by him," meaning Jesus Christ, "all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So not only did Jesus fully participate in creation, He continues to hold creation together by his power. And this is most certainly a reason why he has a more excellent name. A third reason why Jesus has a more excellent name is revealed in verse 3. Jesus has a more excellent name because he is the exact representation of God the Father. When Moses came down from the mountain after speaking with God, the scripture says that his face shone brightly because it reflected the glory of God. This reflected glory was so bright that Moses had to veil his face so the people could be around him. But this reflected glory was not an exact representation of God. In Jesus, however, the very essence and nature of God the Father was visible. In John chapter 14, verses 7 through 9, Jesus was asked about this very thing. Jesus said, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" In Jesus, then, we see exactly who the Father is. There was no prophet who ever lived who could reveal God in such a way. A fourth reason why Jesus has a more excellent name is because he has made purification of sins. One of the good things about the Old Testament law was the system of sacrifices by which the people could have their sins set aside in God's sight. These sacrifices, however, only offered atonement in anticipation of the supreme sacrifice which was offered by Jesus himself. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, the writer says that in the Old Testament sacrifices, there was a reminder of sins year by year, because it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. But in verses 12 through 14, speaking of Jesus, he says, "But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." So Jesus did in one sacrifice what all the sacrifices for all of time before him could not do. He paid the price for all the sins of all the world for all time. This truly is a reason why he has a more excellent name. Now all of these reasons from the first four verses of Hebrews make a strong case for Jesus having a more excellent name. But there are two comparisons that should be noted here to remove any possible doubt as to his more excellent name. The first comparison is to angels. We point out this comparison because of the fascination that so many people have with angels. Angels are important beings in God's eternal purpose, of course, and they have a good name, but they do not have a more excellent name. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, the scripture says of angels, "Are they not ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" Now the key here is that angels serve those who will inherit salvation. But Jesus is the one by whom salvation is granted. That gives him a more excellent name. There's another reason why the angels do not have a more excellent name. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Here the scripture says, "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'? And again, 'I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me.' And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'And let all the angels of God worship him.' And of the angels he says, 'Who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire?'" Now here once again, the comparison is between the one who is a son and those who are merely servants of God. In addition, the angels are commanded to worship the Son. The greater never worships the lesser. Therefore, Jesus is greater than angels. This shows why he has a more excellent name than the angels. The second comparison is to Moses, the servant of God. Among earthly men, we recognize Moses as being one of the greatest who ever lived. In fact, so great was Moses that in prophesying of the coming Messiah, God used Moses as an example of what the Messiah would be. In Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, Moses wrote these words, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him." Now this sounds as if Moses was comparable in some way to Jesus, and in a limited sense this was true, but not in the fullest sense. Returning to Hebrews, we need to look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The scriptures here reveal the true comparison between Jesus and Moses. Here's what the scripture says. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." What is important about this comparison is that Moses was faithful as a servant, but Jesus is faithful as the son over the house. This comparison puts everything into its proper perspective. Moses was indeed a great man and is worthy of great honor and praise for his faithful service. But as good as his name is, it is not as great and excellent as the name of Jesus. Jesus has a more excellent name by virtue of his relationship to the Father in heaven. As the Son of God, Jesus has a name far above all other names. It is more excellent than Moses. It is more excellent than the angels. It is more excellent than any other name under heaven. In Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, Peter gave inspired testimony to the excellence of Jesus' name. He said, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Well, this brings us to the importance of this more excellent name for us today. Peter put the issue into focus for us. It doesn't matter what our heritage is. It doesn't matter what our economic status may be. It doesn't matter how great our name might be according to the world's standards. The only thing that matters is that there is one name by which we must be saved. Until we have been obedient to the name of Jesus, there is no excellence to our name. Because Jesus has a more excellent name, he can give to all those who obey him an excellent name in its own right. That name is the name that reflects whose we are. It is the name Christian. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we learn from the inspired record of Luke that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. From that time forward, every person who has been baptized into Christ carries this excellent name. Every person who has obeyed the gospel is called by the name that is above all names. He is called by the name of Christ, a more excellent name. The question for us to consider today is, what kind of name do we have? Is it a good name, like so many of the faithful of ancient times? Or is it a better name, like those recorded in the roll call of faith in Hebrews 11? Or is it a more excellent name, the name of Christ? If your name is not Christian, then nothing else matters. Nothing else is important. The question for you to consider, will you obey Jesus Christ so that he can bestow upon you his more excellent name? Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.